Great. Our next speaker is Peely Kinslow from the University of Florida.
Good morning. We're going to switch gears a little bit. I'm a biological scientist at the University of Florida Environmental Horticulture Department, and I'm thinking of all these local production systems. We wanted to figure out how much light a consumer would need in their kitchen to produce lettuce. So we know that with the increased awareness of healthy eating, of where food comes from, food gardening in the United States is on the rise. In 2015, Americans spent $3.6 billion on food gardening. In the urban areas, we've seen an increase of 29% in food gardening. So we see that a lot of the edible gardening is moving indoors. We see this with the increase of products like the production systems, to mention a brand name, the AeroGarden. Also, the greenhouse growers, which is the segment we mostly work with, they're producing more potted herbs or potted edibles, like the leaf lettuce shown in this picture. So our idea was to, a living salad bowl, something where the homeowner could constantly harvest from it, and so how much light would they need for them to be successful? Because if they're not successful, they're not going to continue using these products. They're just going to give up and try something else. So we know that light is critical for plant growth. Most of the research, when we were working on this project, most of the research that I found is completely focused on greenhouse production. So how are greenhouse growers successfully growing lettuce? So the recommended daily light integral, or DLI, in a greenhouse setting is for 17 moles per meter squared per day. Based on recommendations for buildings, we see that in a kitchen environment, the daily light integral doesn't get up to the highest we can get, and this is running the lights 24 hours in a kitchen, would be 0.6 moles per meter squared per day. So this is way lower than the recommended for greenhouse production. But of course, we're not talking of greenhouse production. We're not saying, oh, this is how, if you're going to become a greenhouse grower in your kitchen, it's just for them to produce their own lettuce for their consumption. This light quantity and quality also has an effect on the nutritional attributes of lettuce, which is a lot of the reason why people are consuming these lettuce for their nutritional values. So knowing this, what we wanted to know, what we wanted to evaluate was the growth, key phytochemical concentrations, and nitrate content of lettuce grown under, we did two separate experiments. The first experiment, we wanted to test a light source, two different light sources, and then after that experiment, we wanted to test different light intensities based on the best light source from the first experiment. And based on these two experiments, we also wanted to provide research-based guidelines for homeowners and companies supplying this market. So we grew all the plants ourselves from seed. We seeded trays. After 21 days, they were ready for transplant. We put them in a plastic bowl, so what we would think would work in a homeowner environment. And we thought this product could be something that greenhouse growers could grow really quickly, because it only takes 21 days from seed to transplant into these bowls. And they can, we gave it 7 more extra days in the greenhouse for it to grow out a little bit more. And so this product could be either sold at a farmer's market or a local food store, or even it could be like the insert. So all they need to do is change the insert and keep the bowl. So to simulate a home environment, we had this growth room set up. So you see the workable area we had was a 2x2 foot area. We separated the light treatments with a white plastic with black backing to avoid light pollution. What the variety we picked was a red salad bowl, which is a 50-day cut and come again lettuce, leaf lettuce variety. So what this means is that the homeowner could cut, and this plant, this variety will keep growing, as opposed to head lettuce, where you grow it once and it's done. So for the light source experiment, we wanted to use a low-cost, readily available white light. So anything a homeowner could go to the local hardware and get. So, and we did white light because all these LED research use all these funky like blue, white, red, blue, green combinations, and we didn't think that would be aesthetically pleasing for a homeowner. So we tested four of these white light sources. We either tested a 4,000 or 5,000 Kelvin LED and a 4,100 or a 6,500 Kelvin fluorescent. We measured the spectral distribution with a spectral radiometer, so we knew how the light was distributed. We had four containers per block. And with our light meter, we made sure that every one of these bowls was receiving 120 micromoles per meter squared per second of photosynthetic photon flux, or PPF, for 12 hours, for a DLI of 5.2. After 14 days in the growth chamber, we collected the data, and I'm going to talk about the data in a little bit. For the light intensity experiment, spoiler alert, we picked the 4,000 Kelvin LED. We had these four light intensities, so the way we achieved them was by using a different number of bulbs. So as you can see, we used either 1, 2, 4, 6. This is the light fixture that we used. So this we bought at a local hardware store and then retrofitted it with T8 bulbs that we purchased. We also had four blocks with four containers per block. As opposed to the past experiment where we were watering every other day with 150 milliliters of tap water, this one we did by weight. So when the containers reached half container capacity, we watered them with 150 milliliters of tap water. And after 28 days, we collected the data for this experiment. So what data did we collect? For growth data, we collected relative chlorophyll content, or the SPAD index. We measured leaf length, and then we destructively harvested everything above the soil level, and we did fresh mass and dry mass. For plant quality data, we did extractions. This first picture with a test tube was a chlorophyll A, chlorophyll B, and carotenoid extractions, and then the pretty pink circles are anthocyanin extractions, and we also did nitrates. So what did we find? As you see, for the light source experiment, all these the four treatment looks very similar to each other. So we saw small differences. The 4,000 LED had higher mass. It also had a lower nitrate content, but the exchange was that the fluorescents actually had more anthocyanins. And you can see in the picture, the fluorescents do express a little better this red color that this leaf lettuce is supposed to have. When we saw the light distribution, we saw that the fluorescents had a little bit more blue when compared to the LED, so this can explain the difference in the anthocyanin content. But the LEDs had a little bit more, especially the 4,000 LED had more of the red light, which we think promoted growth. For the light intensity experiment, not surprisingly, as we increased light, we also increased growth. This we did see drastic differences between the treatments. As the light increased, so the plant became more compact, and you see how the leaf length decreases. The dry mass went up. We had greener plants, greener, redder plants, so we had more chlorophyll or more anthocyanins, and we also had less nitrates. So based on all this, what we wanted to do is create a light recipe for a homeowner, because not many homeowners are going to have a light meter in their home. I mean, I don't have one. and I do this for my living. So how would they know, you know, how much light their bowls or their lettuce is getting, or their basil, or whatever, but this was particularly for lettuce. So we wanted to create a light map. So we measured in the 4 square foot area that we used for our experiment. We measured the 4 light intensities with the 4,000 Kelvin LED at heights from 4 to 12 inches. We took 16 measurements, which were 6 inches apart. One of the things I do want to mention at this point is that in doing this research, we looked at some of the growing systems that are available, and I at least didn't find any information on how much light these are providing for plants. So this was also one of the reasons why we wanted to create this light map. So there's a lot of data going to happen right now, but just kind of bear with me. So we see that we transformed our light intensities to be expressed in number of light bulbs per square foot, so the homeowner would know how many of these T8 bulbs to use within a square foot, and the different heights we use. So the data in this table is PPF, plus or minus standard deviations. So based on this, we transform our PPF to the daily light integral based on how many hours the homeowner needs to operate these lights to reach the light levels that we determined. So from the light intensity experiment, we said, well, the 3.7, which was the third light intensity, does give enough growth. It's adequate enough in a consumer environment. Obviously, the 6.5, the higher light intensity, is much better. So the orange highlighted on the bottom table is everything that covers from 3.7 up for the adequate growth. So for example, at 50 PPF, which was the lowest PPF the homeowner should provide, they should have the light should be 8 inches above the plant with 1 light bulb per square foot, and they should run these lights for 21 hours. We don't think that's practical. I don't know anyone that would keep lights on in their kitchen for running for 21 hours. I at least turn my lights off at night, but people are different. So if they want to run their lights for a shorter time, they could run them for 11 hours, providing 100 PPFs, which means they would need 100, they would need 1.5 light bulbs per square foot at 4 inches. If they want to provide a better growth, they could also run these lights at 4 inches and 1.5 light bulbs per square foot for 18 hours. So we found that compared to fluorescents, the LEDs cost less to run. They do increase biomass, decrease nitrate, but also decrease anthocyanin. So they're obviously lacking in a little bit of the light to produce this red. More light does equal more growth and quality, but there's a practical and cost trade-off. And either light source we found would provide acceptable lighting in a consumer kitchen. So thank you, especially to... I would like to acknowledge our great students, because a lot of this work wouldn't have been done without them. One of them is here. Well, several of them are here. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. So we measured the lighting. We put the light level. So the question is, if we measured on the shelf, we put the light sensor to where the plants would be, so like at the canopy level, not at the.
Right, but the surface is a measurement of next to the measurement, and then when you have plants, yeah.
Well, our shelf that we have was blue colored. So that's the closest we could get. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.